Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to episode 2 of Tony's Raw and Uncut podcast. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Bondoc Roofing. Visit bondocroofing.com to go ahead and get free estimates on roof repairs. If you contact me, I'll get you with a code that you can get $100 off any full roof replacement or $25 off any roof repair. Again, that's Bondoc Roofing. The owner is James Bondoc. He's actually a really good friend of mine. And being with all the rain that we had today as well, if anything happened, go ahead and take a look into them. They have a Facebook as well. It's under Bondoc Roofing or bondocroofing.com to go ahead and view some of their work and some of their pictures. Again, it's Bondoc Roofing. Contact me on Facebook. I'll give you a code. We can get $100 off any full roof replacement or $25 off any roof repair. All right, everyone. I want to welcome my guest into episode 2 of Tony's Raw and Uncut podcast. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him for about 3 years or so going on, and he's actually one of the most truthful guys I've ever met, and really into the game of hip-hop and just music overall, and he's always a good guy to talk to. I want to introduce Jesse Salazar, also known as DJ Ninja here in San Antonio. So give it up, man.
What up? What's going on, Tony?
Nothing much, man. Just here doing this podcast, man. I appreciate you, man, letting me do this with you.
Hell yeah, man. It's a pleasure here, man. You know what I mean? I know. And talking about it, and of course I'm glad we're able to sit down and do this today, man.
All right, cool, man. That's what I'm talking about. So me and Jesse, we met each other through work a few years ago, and we've always had one common thing, and that's music, you know. And whenever we're at work, we can always talk about different things, you know, whether it's hip-hop music, whether it's EDM, whether it's creating beats, creating music. So we've always had that kind of thing going on. But Jesse's been in the game for a little while now here in San Antonio. So, you know, I'm going to ask him a couple questions here as well today. We're going to get into whatever we can as well. But, you know, one of the things I want to know is, you know, when did you start creating beats, you know, yourself?
Definitely. So I started creating beats. It was back in 2007 through a friend of mine, you know, a real good friend of mine I had met. His name was Ryan. Yeah, at the time we were just going to school, man, at Texas State, and you know, the dude was just a real humble guy, man. I met him when I was working at Pizza Hut, man. I was a waiter there, man, and then this dude was just like, yeah, you know, put me on a bunch of hip-hop music. And after that, then just found it through that. And you know, we'd come over, you know, every weekend, and we were just, you know, working on beats, and he started showing me some different things. And then after that, then I started going to this record store in San Marcos. It was called Sundance Records. And the spot, man, was like, you know, a digger's heaven, man. You know, just had records from anything and everything. And I got to meet the owner, man. And the dude was, you know, was real cool, man. You know, he knew I didn't really know my stuff as when it comes to music and artists and what I was looking for. But I was able to, you know, let him know the type of sounds I was looking for. And the guy was real cool, man. Just like, you know, said, hey, you know, bring me a CD of what you're looking for. So I burnt him a bunch of Gangstar, you know, Wu-Tang, just, you know, all my favorite stuff that I was listening to, Main Source at the time. And I was like, man, these are the beats I'm looking for. And the dude just had an incredible ear, and he was like, look, you know, I definitely understand you're looking for that. And he's like, let me go ahead and you know, every week, if you want to come through, I'll have a stack of records for you. And you know, definitely they'll have, you know, some of the similar sounds you're looking for. But actually what happened is the dude knew the samples from the songs, man. You know what I mean? So when I listened to the shit, the dude was just like, man, you know, he just was on point with everything after that. And, you know, I got the MPC 2000 and just started creating from there. And then, you know, then it built into where I'm at now.
That's legit, man. So and, one of the things I want to know, man, because I'm, you know, into music myself. Of course, whenever I was younger, man, I think when I was like, I want to say like 12 or 13, I started like really paying attention to music. And then, you know, I started listening to like rock music, and that got me into, you know, wanting to buy a guitar. So my parents bought me a guitar. My parents bought me a drum set, you know. Then I started creating music, and then I started joining bands. So I mean, it starts off early on, man. That you know that you get creative, like, you know, you want to create beats or you want to create music, and you just know that you want to get into that, man. So how old were you, man, whenever you first like realized that, you know?
Man, that was probably, you know, right after I had turned 21, man. You know, I had been listening to music and stuff, but you know, I didn't know what instruments were doing what. And you know, definitely I knew I liked the piano, and I knew I liked the guitar, and you know, of course, you know, fat bass lines, man. But I just didn't know where that was coming from. And when I got to making beats, that's when I really had the understanding of what did what. And I was able to just, you know, do my research and homework and stuff like that. And You know, I didn't grow up like in a musically inclined setting, man, but you know, I grew up on a lot of old school music, so I knew that, you know, whenever the beat machine came into place and the sampler came there, and of course, you know, all those records, I knew it was game time.
All right, man. Yeah, dude, same here, man. Actually, I gotta credit my brother, man, for a lot of the way I kind of grew up, man. My brother and my sister, whenever I was younger, like 13, they would always listen to like some heavy shit, dude, some heavy, like, you know, rock music, man. They're always going to concerts and stuff, and then I kind of fell into that, man, because before that, you know, I was in junior high and I was, you know, listening to hip-hop, dude. Bone Thugs back in the day, man, was like the big stuff, man. Puff Daddy, dude, you know, like all this, I was listening to all that stuff, man, coming up. And then that's when it actually switched for me, and I still listen to hip-hop, dude. You know, of course, I still bump that like most of the time, you know. I like going to hip-hop concerts just because I like being in that environment, you know, where it's just not, you don't have the headphones on and you listen to something that was made in the studio, but you can actually go to a concert and like feel the vibe, feel the, you know, the energy, man, that's going around, actually seeing something. And like what I like going about to the hip hop concerts, man, is like some of these artists, these hip hop artists, they'll even bring bands with them, dude. And it's not just a DJ playing the instrumental in the background and they're out here singing. I like whenever you can actually hear the snare, you know, you can hear the kick drum, you know, you can actually hear the piano playing, the synthesizer, you know, whatever it is that's in the song. So I mean, that's kind of the aspect that still gets me with hip hop, man. I like that a lot, dude. Like Kendrick, you know, well, one of the new artists, man, Kendrick Lamar, you know, that's kind of what I like about him, because I've seen him on a couple YouTube videos where he's performing and stuff, man, and he has like an actual band, dude. Or like Wiz Khalifa does the exact same thing, you know. So these guys are big, you know, and everything, but they're incorporating, you know, the live band, and I think that's great for hip hop, man. I like that, dude.
Yeah, man. There's definitely the live band setting is definitely what sets it off, man. There's a couple groups here from SA, man, that I've seen that have done that, and one of them is called Mojo. They're a group, man. They're like a super group. They're real soulful guys, man. And you know, I know Trey and Easy Lee, man. Easy Lee's one of my main homies, man. And he's the MC from the group, and Trey's like the singer, man. And that dude sounds like Marvin Gaye, man. So imagine that, you know, with just dope break beats and, you know, going truly off the vibe, man, right then and there. And definitely those dudes, they're probably one of the best live shows I've seen, you know, in that setting, man, where, you know, once they touch the mic, man, you know, it's done.
Yeah, man. You know, man, that's one of the things is that, you know, you name all these guys and everything, and they're from San Antonio and stuff, but not a lot of people know about them, you know, man? I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know, the scene, I guess you can call it, the scene, man, is not, like, that crazy down here, you know, where people won't actually know about this or go out and know about this, but everybody just waits to see what's on the radio, you know, man? And people don't really realize that the underground is actually where it's at, dude. And that goes for all aspects of music, dude. Any kind of genre you're looking at, man. It's the underground music where you're going to find the actual talented musicians or the artists or anything like that, man. So I know last year you gave me a record that you had did that you actually produced some beats on, man, with Black Note Records. So tell me a little bit about Black Note, man. What are they? What do they do?
Yeah, man, that was the 88 mixtape, man. Yeah, definitely. That was like one of the first pressings in a while, man. But yeah, Black Note Records and Black Note is a collective, man, of it's a real close-fisted type of group, man. You know, it's just a bunch of friends, man, that we all known each other for a long time. You know, originally, you know, it was my boy Ant, which is like the head of the whole group, man. You know what I'm saying? Then we got, you know, Jason Randini. He's the MC. And we got a few others in there too, man. But really what it is, man, it's just people that come together, you know, to make good music, and of course you know, do what they do without any type of limits, man. And it's all just expression of creativity and overall just being dope, man, and making sure that what you're putting out is dope as well. There's a few others as well, man, on the link on the group. It's gonna be Aura and also Cree 23. She's one of the newer persons, but we weren't all together, you know, right now. Really what happened is it was a while back when I first came back to San Antonio, and this was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And my friend, it's actually one of my brothers, man, his name's Ann, and he had reached out to me, and I was just posting up beats, man, just, you know, in the lab and stuff, and different links I had posted beats on. And, you know, at the time, you know, they're probably beats I wouldn't show anybody now, but they were just like older beats. And he reached out to me and saw, you know, the progression, and just saw, you know, where I was at and what I was wanting to do. And you know, called me over, you know, we talked back in the shed, man, you know, relaxed out. And then, you know, then he was like, you know what, this is home, man. This is where you need to be at. And, you know, Ant's a real, real musically inclined dude, man. He really knows his stuff. He plays the saxophone, you know, just super knowledgeable when it comes to music and music theory, man. And so whenever, you know, came making to making beats, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, like, you know, I didn't know where certain sounds needed to be or how, you know, rhythms worked. And, you know, Ant just helped out with the development portion of it and showing like, hey, this is what you could be doing, or, you know, this is how it could sound, and opened my mind up to a lot of different ways to make beats. And after that, man, that's what led into now. But, you know, that's what Black Note is. Black Note is just, it's a strong crew that just makes music and, you know, does what they want to do and puts out good music all the time. All
right, man. They're based out of here, right? San Antonio?
Yeah, San Antonio is where we're here. This is where we're at. Used to have a spot now, you know, off of Wurzbach, and now we're at the Paint Yard right now downtown, and of course, hopefully a new spot coming soon.
All right, man. Well, there you go, man. If y'all didn't know what Black Note Records was, y'all know now. So keep an eye out for them and what they got coming out, especially my boy Jesse, DJ Ninja, here as well. So, man, let me ask you, man, because being that, you know, we create, you know, music, what is one instrument that you want to learn or maybe wish you could have learned earlier on?
And the one music I would musical instrument I'd say that I would love to learn would be the piano, man. It's actually something, I'm getting a keyboard here next month, man, and just having to choose the right one is the hard part, man, because you got so many different ones, and when you go through to play with all of them, they all sound lovely, man. Like, you wish they would just all have a baby and just make one piano. That's just like, you know, the best, man. But you got to be selective, man. And but yeah, the piano would be the one I would say. After that, then it would probably be the trumpet.
Okay, all right, man. Yeah, I can imagine some beats with trumpet in it, man. Some kind of orchestrating, you know, music on there.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm agree with you, man. I wish I could have learned how to play piano, dude. I think piano lays a basis for everything, you know, whether you're gonna use it in hip hop or like the latest things that I see, you know, people using piano is like an EDM music, you know, that lays down a foundation for, you know, where you want to add, you know, your different sounds and effects to, or, you know, your other beats that you're gonna do. But yeah, man, I wish I could have learned piano, dude, a long time ago, man. I was looking at videos on YouTube the other day of some songs that people cover on piano, dude, and I was like, man, that sounds, and regardless as how gay people think it may sound, I mean, dude, piano is beautiful, dude. That's exactly what it is. It's especially when you hear a song that you know right now. Like, I guarantee if somebody wants to go hear that song Blank Space by Taylor Swift, I guarantee there's probably a fucking piano cover on it right now on YouTube. And I bet it sounds beautiful, I bet, dude. I mean, it's just what the piano does, man. I wish I could have learned that shit a long time ago.
Yeah, man. It's just definitely the bread and butter to all music, man. Like, especially with anything, man. You know, there's so many things that it's based off of, and, you know, just knowing your keys and your chords, man. I mean, if you really did, you know, a lot of the history on it, like, you'll see it's the foundations of, like, ringtones and the jingles and, you know what I mean, all the way up to, you know, to the most craziest opera orchestrated thing that you would ever imagine, man. But, I mean, just knowing how to play and when to play, you know, that's something that takes time, man. And, you know, it's definitely, it's hard sometimes, man, because you may get frustrated, but you just got to stay dedicated, man.
So what got you into DJing,
man? What got me into DJing originally was when I first bought my set of turntables, man. This guy from San Marcos, when I was living there, this dude named Tommy V, and he was like this DJ that, you know, was DJing a lot of places, and, you know, I got to meet him. He's a real cool dude, man. Just has, like, a whole room just full of records, man. And the guy was just letting go some turntables, and he was like, hey, man, you know, I know you're looking for some. If you want, you know, I can let them go to you. And they're nice, man. And so I wound up getting on those, and then whenever I was going to Sundance, man, I was just getting on the records, and also I was finding a lot of hip-hop records that I like too, man. So I was getting on a bunch of, like, Tupac, you know, all the classic joints, Tribe Called Quest, you know, Everything From Anything, man. I was buying it up, you know, just on vinyl, because I was like, you know what, I need to have that stuff, man. I want to hear it on wax. And you know, they say that wax sounds different, and it really does, man. Whenever you're listening to it and you're listening to those songs, man, they sound completely different on wax, man. They sound more warm. And so after that, then I still had the turntables and was still spinning, man. And then you know, I started getting invited to go do house parties, man. And after that, then, you know, of course, I started doing that and started getting in with some of the fraternities, man. And then they were just hooking it up. So then they were like, you know what, come DJ, man, we'll hook you up, you know, give you like $200 or $300 or something just to spend for the night. And I was like, man, that's what's up. I ain't got paid to do that, you know, before. So after that, then, you know, and I would go, man, and just, and the parties would just be so live, man. It'd be like, you know, 500, 600 people, man, just chilling, drinking, man. And yeah, that's when I started DJing. I was like, you know what, man, and this is what I can do, man. I can do this. And after that, then I started getting into like the club setting, man. And I got booed out of a DJ club, man. I've never told nobody that shit, but yeah, I was in Seguin, man. It was a spot called Kerrigan's, man. And I thought I was the shit, man. And they invited me over, and they're like, oh, but you got to DJ with CD players. And I was like, oh shit, I've never done that. But you know, how hard could that be if I have a book full of CDs, man? And I showed up with like all my old school shit, man. And you know, I started spinning, man. And then like people were on the dance floor when I started, man. But then when once you get into that setting, man, you know, they'll start sitting down slowly but surely if you're whack, man. And that's exactly what happened, man. And so then the other DJ had to come in pretty quick, man. And but after that, you know, that just shows you like, you know, how to sharpen the sword, man. You gotta, you know, keep progressing, keep getting better, man. And you know, once you study your craft, man, then you know what settings to apply.
Yeah, man. You know, that makes me want to digress a little bit, man, because you speak of that, dude, and like, you know, I used to DJ like events and stuff like that, you know. So and I know we talked about, you know, the future of you possibility, you know, doing other events as well, man, you know, the weddings and such. So yeah, dude, whenever I was DJing, man, I loved playing house parties, dude. I did one house party for a good friend of mine, man, a few years ago, like 2 years ago, I think, near Halloween. And I played nothing but like straight hip-hop, dude, like hip-hop, you know, top 40. I DJ'd from 9 that night, dude, until almost 3:30 in the morning, dude. And it was outside, man. Nobody called, nobody complained, the cops didn't show up, dude. It was the parents that actually shut us down, man. The parents wanted us to stop it, dude, so we went ahead and stopped it, man. But I've also done a few weddings as well. I think the biggest wedding I may have done was probably like maybe 150 or 200 people, man, at the old San Francisco Steakhouse Ballroom. And this was about 2 years ago as well, man, in September. And you know, you have to read the crowd, man. That's the biggest thing, dude, about DJing, man. And like, everybody thinks it's so easy, dude, that, you know, oh, why do you need to hire a DJ? Why do I need to pay $200, $250, $300 to hire a DJ? Well, I'll just get an iPod and play that shit up there. I mean, it's not. It's a whole experience, man. It's a whole environment, you know. A DJ can put things together that you've never heard. They can make things vibe together the way you never did. They can mix cumbias, you know, into other cumbias that you never even thought were possible, you know. And people would take that for granted, man. I mean, you know, everybody wants to spend $15,000, $20,000 on a wedding, but then they want to cheap out when it comes to a DJ, you know. And that's the most important part of your night, dude, you know, for the reception part, at least, you know. Without a DJ, what else are you going to do? You're not gonna have lights. You're not gonna have any. You're not gonna have any good music. I mean, you're gonna play a damn radio that has a 5 second pause in between each song, you know. So people take that shit for granted, man. And it's all about reading the crowd, dude. Because I've been there, man. I've been there as well, dude. Where I'm playing, you know, country or whatever, dude. Or I'm playing like some 80s music or whatever. And like people, once I play two songs of that, I start noticing people start falling out. You know, they start going to the side. And then right away, you know, you have to know like what you can go, man. Is there a go-to, you know? Is it a Selena song that you can go on to? You know, it's a cumbia. You know, people are going to come out to it, start dancing it. You know, and you throw on some masoda after that. You know, I mean, it's just it's a wide variety, dude. And it can be stressful, man. But, you know, like you said, man, you just have to know. You have to read and you have to know, man. You have to know your shit.
Like with the DJ, man, like a lot of people, you know, they take them for granted sometimes, man. And the only reason why I say that, man, is just because, like, even when, you know, from a wedding all the way to a hip-hop show, man, they don't understand that a DJ sets the tone for the evening, man. The DJ will make the difference between you having a good night, between that, or you actually wanting to go somewhere else where another DJ is probably spending some dope music, man. And, you know, for sure, man, it's like, that's the differences. But for me, man, you know, I try to create an experience whenever, you know, we first initial contact, of course, you know, whenever we actually get to setting up. And definitely when I'm setting up, man, I normally started off, you know, just depending on the vibe, man. But definitely I would not let you have a bad time, especially whenever, you know, they came to dance, man. You know what I mean? They didn't come to just chill, man. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And you gotta be consistent. And you know, the reason why they probably undermine a lot of some DJs sometimes, man, is just because, you know, they don't create that experience, man. They're not consistent with what they do. And you know, a lot of DJs now, man, they want to get the turntables, man, but then they just want to press play, you know what I mean? Or, yeah, you know, not really do anything special, man, you know what I mean? And their mixing sucks too, man. They just do night to day, man, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got to be innovative and creative and also set your own trend to what defines you from somebody else. That way, whenever it comes time for them looking for somebody, man, you know, when they call you, they know what time it is.
Yeah, man. And I always prided myself, man, whenever I was doing that mixing and stuff like that from song to song, you know, I never wanted to have a whack transition because to people like me and you that understand music and, you know, we know about beats, we know about counts, we know about bars, we know about, you know, all that stuff. You know, you can go play at a bar tonight, and I guarantee you 75% of those people won't realize when you're making a transition. You know, they won't realize what part you're making a transition on. But to me, whenever I would DJ, that was the most important part. You know, it's like, I gotta make this blend in correctly, you know, otherwise it's gonna sound whack, dude. Like, there's a little bar that I go to, RNJ's out there where I live, man, and that DJ sucks, dude. Like, his transition is like, that kills my vibe, dude. That kills my night, dude. I'm like, I'm drinking, man, I'm having a good time, and I hear like a whack conversion, and I'm like, really, dude? Like, they couldn't get anybody else better? Like, bro, like, it's, you're going from cumbia to cumbia, dude. Like, come on, man, it's not that hard, dude.
Man, when you live in Egypt, man, they take what they can get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. So I mean, you know, but then again, you know, those are people that don't understand, you know, the conversions, don't understand music in general, dude, that are just there just to be there, man, for whatever it is, have a good time, or they just don't care, you know, really. That's a wide variety of people, man. But I want to know, dude, what are some of your current current music that you're listening to right now?
I'm definitely listening to the new Kendrick Lamar, man. That's definitely in rotation. The new Action Bronson for sure. The new Joey Badass CD as well, man. I've been jamming that. That's like newer stuff. Normally, you know, for me as a DJ, man, I always listen to, you know, the newer stuff, no matter if I like it or if I don't. I try to just listen to sounds, you know, beats that are sounding out, the way that the drums are using, or maybe even the chords are playing and stuff like that. And I try to listen to that just so that way stay relevant when it comes to making beats. But that's something newer that I'm listening to, man. Right now I've been digging into the Nujabes catalog, man. He's this producer, man, just crazy, man. The dude just so dope and was way ahead of his time, and, you know, he's no longer with us, but, you know, definitely that's someone that I'm steadily listening to. And you know, and also to the Strange Fruit Project, man. They're out of they were out of Killeen, I believe, man. And you know, definitely this producer named S1, man, you know, he's gone on to do, like, you know, Grammy nominated projects. I think he just recently won a Grammy, man. But I've been listening to their shit, man. Their whole catalog is just so dope, man. It's just like, you couldn't believe that came out of Texas, man, whenever you first hear it. I mean, and they rep Texas to the fullest, man. So there's catalog right now is what I've been jamming in the most.
All right, man. So what kind of projects have you done in the past, man? I know you mentioned you did some DJing and stuff, you know, at some you know, some clubs and some frat parties and stuff. But any other projects, man, that you've done and currently doing or looking forward to doing in the future as well?
Yeah, the projects I've been doing that I've worked on, I have four projects out right now that underneath me that I've done just solo, which is a Day in the Life project with like a 35 beat instrumental project that I put out. Just beats I was making over time, and, you know, beats I sold to some MCs, man. And I was like, man, I put it on a whole CD just to burn, because I was like doing like minute and a half, 2 minute beats, and I put it on a whole CD, and then I was like, man, this could be a CD, man. And I burned it for some friends of mine. They were like, hey, you know, this is dope, you should put it out. So that was my first project. After that, then I got into doing remixes, and my first one was the Remixes Volume 1, and then I put out the Remixes Volume 2. And they're just acapellas that I came across, man. And you know, some of them I didn't really even hear the original track to, or I heard the original track and I was like, man, their beat was real whack, so I just wanted to, you know, make it dope again, man. And also too, then I put out another, my most recent one, which is called Moondust, and it was like a space theme instrumental project, man. And the more metal tempo, man, just real spacey sounds, man, and with dope drums, man. And that's what I had recently just put out. But projects that are currently in the works right now, I'm working on the Remixes Volume 3. I just got recently contracted, man, to do some beats for a friend of mine. I've known him for a long time. He's with this crew called Los Nagalatos, and they're from here, from San Antonio. You know, other stuff that we have in the works right now is this this project with my boy Mad One. You know, we recorded like a few albums, man, but we just didn't get to, you know, put it out within time that we wanted to. So, you know, I recently got with him. I was like, you know what, man, we need to do something that's gonna, you know, change our lives, man. And what I meant by that is like, not, you know, to try to live successfully off of it or, you know, anything like that. Something that's gonna like really push us to want to push ourselves to be better. And that's why, you know, with the beats, man, like, you know, for this project, they're gonna be, you know, make me at my best, and then also him, you know, himself, man. It's gonna, you know, push him as an MC to, you know, do better, man. I mean, the dude's already so dope as it is. Mad One is like his legend, man, from San Antonio. A lot of people don't really know about him, man, but you know, he was on the Wake Up Show, you know, with Sway and Tech, man, you know. And you know, the dude just collabs all the time, man. He stays working, man, and that's something you got to give a props up to, because a lot of MCs, they'll put out one project and then they'll just like, you know, be like, oh, I'm good, or this is what I worked off of, or whatever. And then, you know, most MCs that, you know, especially local too, man, they put out like one or two projects and then they, you know, they're done. But with Mad One, he stays working, man, whether, you know, it's with any producer, man. And the dude is just so humble, man, you know what I mean. And I've known him since my first DJ gig here in San Antonio, man. And just built that foundation with him. You know, he's not somebody that, you know, is shady at all, man. He's just very, has a good heart, man. And you know, he deserves that, man. So that's why we're working together. You know, we're like-minded in so many ways, man. And you know, if I was an MC, I'd be him, man.
Damn, man, that's the difference, man. That's the difference between people that are staying local and that actually make it somewhere, man. Just gotta have that drive, man. That's all, really all it is. And that's all you ever hear anybody else saying too, man, especially the people that are already up there, you know, is, you know, if you have a dream, just go after it, man. Just do it, make time for it, you know. I see you got this Sons of Anarchy bike up here, dude. You watch all the seasons, man?
Yeah, man. Me and the wifey, man, we you know, we sure just kind of like skeptical on it, man. And you know, because, you know, yeah, you see it, man, you're like, yeah, all right, just another like biker type deal, man, you know what I'm saying? And you don't really want to watch it, man. But I got put onto him with my boy Ant, because every time I would go over there and chill with him, man, you know, he was watching it on his laptop. And then I only caught a few episodes, and I was like, damn, it looks fucking dope, man. And then I told my wife about it, and she was like, oh, I don't really want to watch it. And then, you know, I was like, you know what, let's just do it from this episode one, let's do it. And yeah, we watched the whole thing from front to back, man. So, you know, it was dope, man. I like Sons of Anarchy, man.
Yeah, I just actually started watching it, man, like 2 months ago on Netflix, dude. So, like, I know it already, the whole show already, like, ended and stuff like that, man, but... I've been hearing a lot of stuff like that too, man, that you better watch it and stuff like that. So I was like, well, cool, it's on Netflix, I'll check it out. So I watched the first season and I was like, yeah, dude, I'm hooked onto it, man. So right now I'm on like halfway of season two, like on episode 7 right now. So I'm watching that, dude, and I like it, man. I like it, dude. I can't wait to see what's gonna happen. Every time I talk to somebody, I'm like, don't tell me anything else, just no, man. Let me keep watching it.
Yeah, I won't mess it up for you, man. But yeah, definitely, once you get into it, man, it's like you're hooked, man, you know what I mean? And you gotta keep watching it, and then like you're like, oh, I'm just gonna watch one episode, and you wind up watching like two or three, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, dude. I pulled that shit, man. When I first started watching American Horror Story, dude, I finished the first season in 2 days, dude, or something like that, man. It was nuts, dude. I was watching it at work, I was watching before I went to bed, I was watching it in the morning when I was getting ready. Dude, I'm one of those people, dude, that gets obsessed with watching a show on Netflix, man, that you can just, you know, you want to finish it as soon as possible. Let me see, man. So what else you got going on, man? What else is new, man?
What else is new right now, man? Just right now with the Mad One project, that's the focus right now. We got with the Black Note crew, man, we got some shows coming up. Actually, we got one show coming up here shortly, man. You know, we haven't finalized the details and go into depth about it, but yeah, man, just that right now. The focus point right now is, of course, with the crew, man. Also, I'm working on a new instrumental project. You know, with Black Note, I normally try to put out, you know, one project a year for myself. And then, you know, that's one thing that I've been working on. But it's an instrumental project, man. It's just more of like a growth. It's not going to be any type of themed or anything like that. It's just going to be, you know, some beats to listen to, some to vibe to, man, and relax to, you know, maybe make babies to, hopefully, man. But I've been doing that, and I've been working on a mixtape, man. Definitely as a DJ, man, I feel like I haven't put out a solid, like mixtape of just classic jams that I like and stuff. And I've been working on that. That's one thing I've been just, you know, going through. The only focus part for me on that was just because, like, I laid out a whole mixtape and it was like 60 minutes long or whatever, but as I kept listening to it, I would find like little flaws in it. Like, I would think that there were some flaws, but when other people listen to them, they're like, oh, that's super dope. And I'm just like, nah, I don't know, man. You didn't know, you know, you didn't see me do that, you know what I'm saying? Or you didn't see where I messed up on this or something. But yeah, they can't hear it, man. They don't know, you know. But, you know, I've just been going through, you know, re-editing things and retuning everything. So hopefully that mixtape drops here, you know, probably by like, you know, August or September, hopefully, man.
All right, man. Yeah, give me an update on that, dude. Definitely, man. We'll get that promoted on here quick, dude. Have you seen Furious 7, man?
Nah, man, nah, but I'm going to go next weekend to watch it because I hear the lines are long right now, man. So like, I ain't trying to wait in the line 2 hours to watch the movie, man.
Yeah, like, dude. Yeah, we bought our tickets 2 weeks in advance, man, for the first day, the first showing, man. And we got there, man, and it was already packed, dude. But it was a good movie, man. It was a good movie. You seen the other ones, man? All the other ones?
Yeah, yeah. Is it worth it to do D-Box or not?
Nah, man, I think it'll be fine, dude. Just regular, dude. Honestly, man, I think it'll be fine, dude. Yeah, I'm not. I think like D-Box is only good for like those Marvel movies, dude. Like, you know, the Avengers and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one, man, I mean, I think you'll do fine just where you're at. You know, it's a lot of action, dude. It's tons of action. It's like it's ongoing action is what it is, dude. And it's just so well done, man. The whole damn movie, dude. It's crazy because I didn't think they were gonna be able to top it off with the last one, but aside from all the Paul Walker stuff, the movie's legit, dude. It really is, man. It has a good storyline, you know. And I don't want to say too much because I'm sure there's a lot of people that haven't seen it as well, you know. So I don't want to give anything away. You know, I'll wait a few months or something like that before we can actually get an in-depth conversation about it on this podcast. But yeah, man, I think you'll enjoy it, dude. You might even shed a tear, man. I don't know.
I saw this video though, man. Before we got here, man. It was of Paul Walker, man, and I guess he was dressed up like in a, like a Hulk suit, man, where he had like muscles, but it was underneath a sweater, and like so he looked all swole, right? And then like he's standing at a car, and then like Tyrese comes up to him and he's like, "Hey Diesel, hey Vin, hey man, everybody's looking for you, man." And then like, you know, like Tyrese gets getting closer and he's thinking it's Vin Diesel, right? And then like then he pulls off the hoodie and it's Paul Walker. And he has like a ball cap, you know what I'm saying? Like covering his hair, making him look bald, and he's all swollen and shit. And then like Tyrese is like, "What you doing, man?" And he's like, "It's Diesel time." And yeah, man, it was super funny, man, because like, you know what I mean, it felt like, you know, he did have a sense of humor to him, man. And you know, I mean, they did play around, man. So it was cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. I was gonna tell you, man. Yesterday, dude, we were earlier, you know, on this podcast, we were talking about the whole DJing thing. So last night, man, I was in a wedding. I was standing in a wedding for one of my good buddies, dude. And what I like about going to, like, you know, quinceañeras or weddings, you know, I like to actually go and see the DJs and stuff because I'm into that, you know. I like seeing their setups. I like seeing what kind of speakers they have. I like seeing, you know, what they have as far as lights and the whole setup, man. I like seeing what everybody got. You know, I want to see if there's anything new that's out there, you know, what, or if somebody's, you know, working with the old stuff, you know. So we get there, man, and the DJ's already set up. And he has these two, you know, huge ass QSC speakers, man. And QSC is like, you know, they're top of the line, you know. So I knew this dude put money into them, man. They're probably at least like $2,000, $3,000 tops, man. And they had the sub already built into them and everything, man. So I knew he was legit. He was good to go, man. But the only thing is he didn't have lights, dude, at all. He didn't have no lights, dude. It was just a black stage. I was like, okay, wait a minute, dude. I was like, I don't know how you do that. I've never seen that before, man. And I certainly wouldn't, man. And for people that I've done events for and even house parties, dude, I take a crazy light setup, man. For me being as small as I am and as the startup that I was, like, I had moving lights, I had just wash lights, you know, I had strobes, I had color strips, man. I had all this shit, dude. And that's just because that's what we were talking about earlier, man. I wanted to give that experience, you know. And from what I can tell, man, people that came up to me, they're like, "Man, you're badass, dude. Where'd you get this setup? How much did it cost? How much did it start with?" And, you know, everything, dude. So that's already automatically letting them know, like, this motherfucker's bad, dude. Like, you know, how did he start off with this shit, you know? And then, so to add on top of that, you want to try to get your mixing on point so that way it's still even just in, you know, badass in general, you know? So, I mean, that was one of the things I saw last night, man. And I was just like, dog, I would not do that. You know, I would not show up to a house party where I'm going to be charging, or a wedding where I'm charging, I'm sure it was probably about $400, $500 to do a cocktail hour, to do the, you know, and the whole 3 hours or 4 hours of the reception, just playing different music, but not have any lights at all, dude. So, you know, that's just one of the things that I saw earlier, man. And that's just my quick rant about it, man, because I would not do that shit.
No, man, I hear you on that, man. And maybe the dude was just starting up, you know what I'm saying? Can't hit on him right off the bat, you know what I'm saying?
Like, that's true, man.
He knew he needed to throw 180 down on the speakers, man, but the lights were coming later, man. And, but, you know, definitely, man, I mean, about the experience, man. I mean, you know, you as like as a you were like a consumer then at that point, man. You know, you're somebody there and you saw that, you know what I mean? And you're like, damn, I probably wouldn't book this dude, you know what I'm saying? And probably nobody even went up to him and asked him for his card, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, creating that experience is key, man. And, you know, definitely, you know, the presentation is key, you know, when in those type of environments, man, because, you know, that'll be the difference between everybody having a real good time to, you know, everybody just like, oh, well, we're here for our homeboy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people were there for the homeboy, but, you know, it's all good, man. You know what I mean? I'm sure if everybody was dancing, man, then everybody had a good time, man.
Yeah, that's true, man. So I got a quick question, man. What are some of your pet peeves, man?
Pet peeves in music or with people?
Like in general, dude. like give me like your one and two, man. Like in general, whatever. It can be whatever, man.
Oh, man. Let's see, man. Pet peeves, man. Just people that try to talk over you, man. You know, if you're talking with them or something and you're you know, talking with them and you're trying to explain something and then they try to talk over you, sometimes, you know, that kind of gets on my nerves, man. But, you know, I let it slide for the most part, man, you know, depending the person. But you know, some people just don't have that proper etiquette, man. You know, that's a pet peeve. When music, man, I'd say I'll use that one too, man. A pet peeve with music is, you know, everybody trying to sound like Weezy, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's only one Lil Wayne and one Kendrick and Lamar, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do them and you do you.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm gonna write on that, dude. There's a new guy that I heard about, just came out. His name's G-Eazy, man. I don't know if you heard about him.
Yeah.
I saw him a few months ago, man. He opened up for Lil Wayne and Drake in Austin. And when he came out, he was rapping just like Lil Wayne, dude. Like, he was just, you know, the same bars, man, the same type, you know. He just had everything going the same way. And I was like, man, see, I like it whenever I hear about a new artist that's coming out. But if they're following the same plot as another person, you know, I can't get with that dude at all, man. That automatically just demotes any kind of idea that I had about this new artist, you know.
Yeah, man, I think a lot of new artists are sometimes overhyped, man. But I mean, a lot of it, man, you just gotta like filter it out, man. Like, you know, you gotta know where to search, you know. And like, you know, you can always search at any time, man, but you gotta know how to dig, you know what I mean? Like, and that's like, you know, with music in general, man. You know, you're gonna have stuff that comes out, it's probably gonna be like the most hyped up thing that you could probably ever hear about, and you listen to the album, you really only like two or three songs on there, man. And but I mean, if you start filtering out, you know, not just that artist, but like, you know, where to look for different artists at, or, you know, artists that are coming out, man, there's a lot of new talent, man, that's just coming out, that's just incredible, man. Like, you know, definitely an example I would say, man, that you know, Sean Price, man. A lot of people are not on Sean Price, man, but, you know, a lot of the newer people are getting on him now. But, you know, Sean Price is an older dude. He's been putting out music for a long, long time. But his music and the whole Duck Down crew, man, they've just been coming up recently. Or not just recently, but probably, you know, the past maybe 5 years or so. And, but you have to look for it, man. You have to search for the music. Also, as well, there's, like, this other dude, man, from Austin, man. His name's Kid Jones. A lot of people don't know about this dude, man, but, you know, he's not like personally a friend of mine, but like I know of him through another friend of mine that I'm real good homies with. And you know, I was blessed enough, man, for this dude to even come to my wedding, man. And you know, just slowly, man, you know, the dude's just been putting in work, man. You know, he's been getting on some tours, man. And like, Kid Jones is definitely somebody, you know, you want to look for, man, because his music's dope and, you know, he's unique, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right, man. I gotta ask you, man. Who you got on this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, man?
Mayweather, man.
Easy.
Yeah, man.
12 rounds, you think?
Nah. I mean, you know what? Yeah, it probably might go the full 12, man. Just because his boxing style, man. You know, he's real. You know, it's like playing chess, man. You know, you gotta watch those moves you make, man. Because if you make the wrong one, then, you know, it could be your downfall. But I know, man. I hear Pacquiao's training hard, man. But, you know, That last fight that he was in, man, I don't know, man. It's kind of suspect, man. But, yeah, you know, with Mayweather, man, I think he's going to hold it down. You know, I put my money on it, man. Been talking to people at work, and I'm like, if you want to bet that $100, let me know, man. I'm betting it on Mayweather, man.
Yeah, man. I'm actually the same route, dude. You're right, man. Pacquiao's last few fights, man, they've been kind of, you know, he's winning them, but he's not winning decisively, you know. And that was since that Marquez fight, man, that he got knocked out, you know. And that was crazy because I guess he didn't expect it for it to be at the last second, you know. But yeah, man, I gotta agree, dude. I think Mayweather's still gonna pull it out, dude. Regardless of if everybody says that he runs or you know he doesn't fight, he runs around the ring. Dude, catch him. That's all I can say, man. I mean, if you want to beat the dude, catch him. You know, cut him off. Do whatever you got to do to win. You know, everybody always backs, you know, Pacquiao up and, you know, saying that, well, Pacquiao will stand in there and he'll fight him, but Mayweather's gonna run or he's gonna run around the ring or whatever. Man, just shut up, dude. Just, you know,
like Pacquiao back in the day, you know what I'm saying? That would have been dope, man. Like, they get them both in their prime, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like
5 years ago.
that'd be dope, man. But like, I'm at the point, like, I want to see Mayweather go up with one of them new cats coming up from Showtime Boxing, man. You know what I'm saying? Because those fools, man, they don't give a fuck, man. They're just like, they just go at it, man. It's like slugfest over there, man.
You got any, I already asked you about your pet peeves, man, like in general, but do you got any Facebook pet peeves, man?
Yeah, Facebook is like feelings book, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't try to be on Facebook too much, man. Had it not been for like the music stuff, man, like I probably wouldn't be on there right now, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like I mean, because that's where I have a lot of my homies at, and you know, I can keep up with what they're doing, you know what I mean? And you know, but yeah, man, sometimes, you know, like Zero said, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, these men act like women, man, so I kick it with the women from the start, man, you know what I'm saying? So like, you know, but nah, man, yeah, but definitely, I mean, yeah, dude, Facebook is definitely, you know, its own unique thing, man, and, you know, some people just want to vent out and, you know, and all that other shit, but, you know, I'm not with that, man. You just catch me posting up beats, man, and if you want to jam them, it's what's up, you want to buy some, let me know. That's how I do it, man.
All right, man, that's good, man, that's cool. All right, man, so go ahead and shout out, man, your Instagram, whatever you got, man, SoundCloud. I know you got a few things up there, man. Go ahead and throw them out right now, man. All of them.
Yeah, yeah, man. I'm on Tumblr. You know, it's at DJ Ninja SATX. Instagram, you can get at me, DJ Ninja SATX. Also as well, I'm on SoundCloud. You can find me on there. Even on MySpace.
Top 8. I'm going to be his top 8 right now.
And yeah, man, if you know, looking for beats, you know what I mean, email me. It's djninjasatx@gmail.com.
All right, that's good, man. All right, man, you got anything else you want to throw out there, man? Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. You definitely has been a pleasure here, man, and hopefully you can come back soon, man.
Yeah, definitely, man. I hope the best for you, man, in the future and everything. And for everybody else out there, man, keep an eye out for DJ Ninja, my buddy Jesse Salazar. For any future projects you may hear about, remember, you heard him here on this podcast. If you hadn't heard before, you heard him now. Thanks everybody for listening to episode 2 of our podcast, and we'll go ahead and see you next week. And a big thanks to Bondoc Roofing. Again, that's bondocroofing.com or Facebook, Bondoc Roofing. Contact me, message me on Facebook or Instagram, however you like, and contact me. I'll get you a coupon code for $100 off any full roof replacement or $25 off any full roof repairs. And we'll get you hooked up with that. I know it's been raining all day today. Whether you have a roof problem now or later, go ahead and take some pride in that investment. When it rains, they shine. Bondoc Roofing. Thank you, everybody.